Welcome to Void Signal. My guest today is Mr. Biddy Cobra of, a number of bands, Julian K, Moving Units, Matt Black, and then you've got, you've also worked with the New Division, is that right?
That's correct.
Awesome. So how's it going today? You said you were at the beach earlier?
Yeah, I was at the beach earlier with my lady and a couple of friends, and then you had mentioned that I had suggested we push back an hour because you were busy too, so I was like, perfect, I get to spend another half hour at the beach.
Cool.
But yes. I'm not a big beach once a year. I don't know if it's the whole goth thing, right? Avoiding the beach and the sun.
Right? Yeah, it's like you can't go out in that. You can't look cool in the heat. Like, you just don't. Like, you just look... You look miserable in the heat.
Like green Doc Martens and, like, a black shirt. Yeah, I was totally representing.
Yeah. See, I appreciate the effort. Like, you at least went to the beach to try and, you know, be, like, a human person. So, I applaud your effort to do it. So, one thing I did want to ask you about, because prior to the interview, I was kind of, like, doing... We call it journalism stuff when I go trolling, like, your Facebook and stuff and Instagram. I'm like, oh, what is he doing? Oh, who's he working with? Where is he going? That's journalism. That's what we're So, I saw that there's an event that you're involved in, called Cobra Heart. Could you tell me a little bit about that? I'm curious.
Yeah, Cobra Heart is actually how I got my nickname, Biddy Cobra. I was throwing these underground events. This is a couple years back, but there was a moment where I wasn't playing in any bands. I moved to San Diego with a band named Broadcasting Sirens, and we broke up, and I had a DJ friend in town that was like, well, I was pretty depressed because I wasn't playing any music, and he's like, well, why don't you come help me with some events, or let's throw some shows. And it was, I would call a mixture of like an underground show with an art show and live painting and a lot of interactive art. And I named the nights Cobra Heart. And then people started booking me. It kind of went from Biddy Cobra Heart to Biddy Cobra. That's actually the story of my name. So.
Oh. Well, that makes sense. I mean, I never wanted to assume, like, oh, he's Mr. Cobra from House Cobra. Comes from a long line of cobras. I mean, you know, I didn't know. So, well, is it something that you still do every now and again, or is it kind of like just been kind of dormant for a while?
It's been dormant for a while. It was fun because I learned a lot of the ins and outs of the industry. A lot of musicians don't know the other end of it, talent buying, the booking, the promoting side of things. So I learned a lot of things, and then I ended up promoting a bunch of bands, promoting people that would come through San Diego, and then I'm like, why the fuck am I not doing this for myself? Right. First and foremost. So it took up a lot of my time and energy, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna switch roles again and become a musician again. And you know, not that I would never do the Cobra Heart Night thing again. I would. I've been wanting to bring it back. I run into friends in town. They're like, oh, we should do another Cobra Heart Night. It used to be so much fun. And I'm still open to it. It just hasn't happened yet.
Sure. I mean, I get that. That makes perfect sense to sort of like refocus your efforts on yourself. Because, I mean, like, you're in this particular music scene, and perhaps maybe even the music scene at large overall, anyway, is just like, it's become this sort of like, everybody has to be an entrepreneur for themselves, essentially, to sort of like be able to market themselves and like, you know, do anything. Like, it's I feel like the days of like, oh, I've got a record label who handles all this for me, like, I feel like those are kind of going by the wayside or on their way out, at least. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, big time. Yeah, you have to you have to be a man of many hats. You have to, and it's mostly out of need. And also, I mean, I'm lucky because I'm kind of an ambivert, and I can be both an A type personality, and I can, you know, be very artsy, where I kind of close myself off. Sure. But the way I see it is this day and age, yeah, Yeah, you have to go above and beyond. If you really want to do this for a living, if you really want to be a musician or artist, you have to adapt to the new way of things, of everything that you can think of, social media, content, thinking, you know, outsource, you know, all the stuff that a label used to do for you, you can do on, you know. I don't know if you want to go into details or specifics of what that encompasses, but that's the newest thing that I've learned in the last couple of years, especially with my new project, Matt Black, is we are self-managed. We are self-contained. Everything from the artwork. Well, first, it's the music. We may create the music, and then everything from marketing to reaching out for PR packages.
I mean, it sounds like a ton of work. I mean, are you much happier doing this versus having it like kind of handled for you?
I think it just falls back into adaptation, and it's not just me, it's a team of us. Luckily, you know, like Matt Black is me, Daniel, and Alex, who have been friends with for 20 plus years, and we've all been the musicians that were Gun for Hires, we've all been in other bands, and you know, Daniel's a graphic designer, Alex is going to school for marketing, so this is all stuff that kind of came natural to us. I'm on the promoting side of things, so we literally just got our heads together and said, okay, how can we make a bulletproof F to kickstart this new project, you know? And it's actually fun at the end. And at the end of the day, it's like, we're grown-ups, you know? I mean, what, you know, we look at a challenge in front of us and we say, okay, what do we need to do to be right there? What do we need to do to be successful? And I think for the most part, that's, I don't know how to answer that question, but you have to really want it, and you have to be very smart to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it seems like
long answers. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, long answers are fine. Like, totally. Like I said, like, this is just a friendly chat, nothing super hard hitting or anything. I'm down for long answers and whatever you want to talk to. It seems like it's worked out for you guys pretty well so far. Because I mean, I only knew you from Julian Kay, and I was like kind of, you know, kept an eye on you on Facebook a little bit. You know, we both kind of, you know, travel inside the same kind of sphere of music genre and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, when I stumbled over Matt Black not that long ago, I was all like, this band's great. This sounds, you know, fantastic. I don't recall what song it was, but I was like, this band's great. And then, you know, looking into it a little bit more, I'm like, hey, that's Biddy Cobra of House Cobra.
That's the one guy.
He's in this band. So that was like a pleasant surprise. I also started getting super into the New Division, like just really loving all of their music. And I was all like, hey, this guy has his fingers in this too. Like, so it was a pleasant surprise to find out that you were doing more with it. Would you say that you're like a lot more involved in like the creative side of Matt Black versus say something like Julian Kay?
Yeah. I mean, Julian Kay gives me a lot of creative freedom. It just goes through different channels. Amir Durak and Brian Sugar are kind of the founding members, and they kind of, you know, this machine and this engine that's already been going for years. And it was an invitation to join as a friend when I joined them. And yes, I've gotten to write some songs. I've gotten to create some of the core ideas behind things. But Matt Black is born of me and Daniel and Alex, and
gotcha.
It's a little more personal for me, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And doesn't take away from anything else that I do, that, you know, anything that I've gotten to do with moving units or with New Division or anything, you know, I feel like I've been able to get my hands or make my footprint in other ways, but definitely, yeah, Matt Black is my opus, you know,
gotcha.
Regardless of the level success I get, it is like the truest form of what I like to do.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like everything I've heard so far. I think I put them on a Void Signal playlist not long ago, maybe. That was...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did, but, I'm...
We're all like, when we did Matt Black, we have no qualms in creating just a whole dance track with no vocals. Like, we're down to just make these soundscapes and Monumental and Pure are actual songs, although they do also sound like very instrumental, instrumentally driven songs, but they actually have a chorus type thing. So I don't know if it's just an audience that, you know, really appreciates that side of us, or maybe there's just more of a connection because there's actual lyrics in it. I guess that's a question that I need to ask more people. But yeah, those two songs.
Okay. All right. Cool. But yeah, I wanted to include you on there because I don't know, similar to your situation of like wanting to you know, strike out on your own and kind of do your own thing. Like, that's kind of the position I found myself in. I'd been, you know, I'd spent years and years and years, working for Regen, you know, making suggestions and, going to shows and, you know, putting a lot of time and effort into it. And then finally one day I just was like, why am I not doing this for myself? You know, instead of doing it for a place where, like, I don't really stand to benefit like somebody else does. Why would I not just, you know, start working on stuff myself? So yeah, it makes sense totally makes that sense. You would,
I think,
yeah.
I think it's all part of the journey, man. Like, I know everyone's situation, some really good relationships with a lot of the past bands, and some of them didn't go fully south, but not their best. But when I really look back now in retrospective, I can say that I am where I am right now because I was in all those bands.
Right.
And I'm a whole different kind of monster now. I'm a whole different kind of animal. My artistry and my skills have grown and quadrupled because I've been in bands with these great people. Honestly, I mean, if I look, you know, when I'm in the studio and I'm looking over the shoulder at Amir Durok producing, who, you know, who has platinum albums and is a producer for all these other bands, I'm going to learn a thing or two, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all part of it. It's all part of your journey, man. You know, whatever you're doing, whatever I'm doing, and you just that one place where you can, you fully have your voice developed, you know? That's what it is.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I like that. I mean, similarly, like, I'm in this position that I am with Void Signal because of that past, you know. I mean, like, I met you at a Julian K show, because I was covering it for the magazine. I mean, you know, it was an added bonus that, like, you know, I got to go see a Julian K and Pig show, but, you know, still, like, it helped, you know, get me here so that when, you know, the time comes to start asking artists, like, hey, do you want to be on a podcast? Like, it's, the door's already partially open, right? And so it makes it easier.
Yeah, of course. Where did we meet? I'm trying to remember. I mean, what year was it?
So this was like this was quite a long time ago, and it was like just one of those like little kind of passing moments. It wasn't like we bonded or anything. It was 2017, I think. Pig, Julian K, Ghost Feeder at CNA Lounge in San Francisco. You walked out of the bathroom. I was waiting to take pictures of Raymond Watts, and you walked out of the bathroom with like toilet paper stuck to your boot.
on my foot.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, you don't want to go. You don't want to go out there with that on. Yeah, that was a fun little moment. But that's when I was first exposed to Fiddy Cobra of House Cobra and his your growing list of talents. What a great show that was too. Like I showed up for that, like, to see Pig, I mean, truth be told. I left like a big fan of Julian K and Ghost Feeder. Like those shows really changed my mind about that. Ghost Feeder's a great band too. And you're somewhat involved with Ghost Feeder, or you've done remixes with them or something to that effect. Is that right?
We've maintained friends for years. Actually, it was more Alex, the singer in Matt Black, who ended up doing drums the next year.
Gotcha.
After the Pig tour, he joined in on drums when we did the tour with the Cult, some Turbo Pilots, and the Bush. Went to Europe for us. Alex is another friend, a dear friend of mine. I kind of take him with me everywhere. We were both in the New Division as well. So, Alex has a really good talent for he's a drummer, and then he went into production and he sings, so he thinks composition and remixing in a whole different level than normal people, and he got to do remixes with Ghost Feeder or collaborations type of deal. I'm always down. I do remixes, but not as much as Alex does, and Derek from Ghost Feeder is a really good friend of mine, so anytime he would want a remix, I totally make time for it too.
Oh, okay. All right. That's cool. I mean, like, traveling around Europe on a tour must be a blast. The other day you said that you guys got together for a rehearsal for like upcoming Matt Black shows, and I saw the ad actually on Instagram, I think, for like your first ever live dates. Do you feel a little bit more apprehensive or a little bit more nervous about it because you feel like Matt Black is maybe a little bit more of your baby?
That's a yes and no answer. We just literally had our first weekend, and like a lot of live electronic acts, it's not simply drums, bass, guitar. This is programming. This is how are we gonna? Because we wrote this album during the pandemic in a studio, so we literally wrote it as a studio, and now it's developing it into a live act. And, you know, we spent the last weekend literally, like, bouncing out samples. Like, we're sampling ourselves. Like, how, you know, three of us, we've been doing this for a long time. How do we play this live and as badass as possible, utilizing all of our skills? And right. I was a little nervous at first, but after doing this first rehearsal, it superseded my expectations, and it's going to be so much fun. We're using every piece of technology you can think of. I mean, I'm going to use a tape recorder on stage to play notes. I'm going to use a sampler. We're using keyboards. We're using analog keyboards. We're using pedals galore, drum pads. I mean, it's going to be a full-on experience. So I'm not that nervous about it anymore, but I was for a while before we did the rehearsals. I'm like, how am I going to pull this off, man? I think it's a healthy way of being nervous because you can't rely too much I've been doing this for 20 years, and no matter what, it's going to be, or take the easy route. You know, I don't want it to be the easy way out where everything is, you know, programmed and we're just going up there and kind of staging things. Not to say that we ever did that before, but, you know, there's fans that do that, and I'm not going to say any names because then I won't have any.
Right. <friends. laughs> No, I totally understand. But, and we've had artists on that I've kind of, discuss the same thing. We had kind of a big conversation with Boo Blacks about how, like, you know, the experience is really important. So they use had a lot of big conversation about like using backing tracks and stuff like that. It sounds really exciting. And that's going. It's not a full tour, right? It's just one show. Is that how it works?
Yeah, you know, right now we're doing our debut show here in our hometown. We are testing out like all of our new gear and our new lighting. We'll be announcing some dates soon. We're going to be hitting some spots before the end of the year, and springtime we will be doing a tour. I just want to jinx it and make some kind of announcement right now, and then it doesn't happen, and you know how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I gotta play it safe right now, but we are playing shows everywhere.
Yeah, you have to keep it under wraps so that you can like go on your own Facebook and be like, oh, big things are coming for my band. And then, you know, just leave everybody in the dark until you decide to announce whatever that might be. And just to sort of plug that a little bit, that upcoming show is actually Thursday, August 26th. In San Diego at a venue called Casbah. I just pulled up all the info for it. Special guest, Street Cleaner, Von Avakian and Disorder doing DJ sets. General admission advance tickets are $10. I mean, that's kind of hard to beat. I mean, like, that's a good ticket price for the band. Like, that's a deal. That's quite some.
Yeah, you know what? We want to be fair. You know, it's our hometown and it's a lot of our friends. I'm really involved in this scene here with every, I mean, I've been here for a good close to 15 years and I've been involved in the goth scene and industrial scene, even in like the indie music world and the electro scene. I even had a moment where I was DJing house and techno. I have, you know, my hands everywhere in San Diego, and I just wanted it to be accessible. I wanted it to be fun. I wanted, it's at a historical venue. It's not going to fall in. You know, it's kind of hard for me to put a value to myself right now with a new project.
Sure.
Even though, you know, my girlfriend tells me otherwise, and a lot of other people tell me how great this new project is. Right, but I can't, you know, everything seems so, doesn't seem tangible to me, and everything, sure. It still seems surreal, like it's like me in my bedroom making music, but apparently, you know, we're doing something right, and yeah. I just want it to be accessible to all our friends. It's our first show, I'm like, there's no excuses, $10, that's what you spend on one of your drinks at a bar that you go in for free, you can do this, and all my yeah. So they're going to make it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, $10, I mean, that's quite affordable for an evening of entertainment, especially weighed against something like, I don't know, alcohol at a bar. I mean, like, you're, you know, oh, I want this new fancy drink they have. Like, well, that's going to be like, you know, my wife and I went to a show in Vegas at House of Blues. We went and saw, it was Dance with the Dead. And Avatar, and like maybe a couple of other bands. But it was like drinks, like were like fancy drinks were like $18. And I'm like, this is bougie people shit. Like, this, like I don't have time for these alcohol drink prices. So a $10 ticket to go see you guys sounds like a steal to me. So, yeah, that sounds great. The venue is historic, like it's just been there a long time, you mean?
It's had two different locations under the same name, but it's just been like one of the longest standing like rock and roll venues. Every band has played there on their journey up.
Gotcha.
Words, you know what I mean? Like, it's the past, you know. It's not like super fancy or anything like that. It's just the place. It's like, you know, the cast are perfect. You know, yeah. I saw this one band there, you know. So, and
gotcha.
they care about bands. They care about rock and roll, you know. Then it's not a place that's gonna treat you like a number. You know what I mean? Like, I personally talked to the owner via email and I'm able to cut some kind of a deal and or say what we want. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great. Let's try it out. You know, it doesn't go through loops or, you know, a whole ladder of people to get an answer.
Right. And I mean, that's also got to be pretty nice too, because then you've again, back to that idea of like, you know, we don't have management, like you're just kind of like doing it yourself. I mean, like, there's got to be something nice about that, just because you do get that little bit of extra oversight and that kind of human to human connection with like whatever place you might end up playing. So that seems like it would be kind of cool too.
Oh, but big time. Yeah. You know what? I mean, we're open to have managers. We're open to work with people. And we do. We have a little team of people. You know, I have a couple friends helping me out with this whole thing. I call them team members. I don't call them managers. I think we're all in it to win it. We're all kind of, you know, like...
Right.
I'll put it to you this way. The senior band is studying marketing at Berkeley. And it's like, what do you think you can have better ideas than him? Probably not.
Right.
Unless...
Yeah.
Unless we... Killer manager that's been working with bands for the last 30 years and knows the ins and outs and knows everyone, but at the same time, is they gotta make some money. They gotta make a living. You know, it's not. You know, we're the ones with the hopes and dreams, so we're gonna build off the hopes and dreams. You know.
Sure, makes sense. I get that. That makes a lot of sense. It's really exciting too. Like, and. I don't know. I feel like you're kind of touching upon this sentiment that that really resonates with me and kind of what I've felt since I started doing Void Signal, which is that idea of like, we're kind of all in this together, right? I mean, like, nobody in this scene or genre, like the sort of the dark music or dark art focus, I mean, a lot of people are doing it just for the love of it, right? Like, they're not in it for, you know, getting super rich and, you know, doing blow and, like, you know, rock star shit. Like, people are getting into it because they love it, and they can't imagine doing anything else with themselves. So, I think it's really cool. And I think, kind of what you're talking about, like, helps build that kind of camaraderie of, like, hey, let's all get together and do this thing. And when we do that, like, we're all happy, we all enjoy it, and we all get to benefit. So, I certainly appreciate you guys having getting together and doing a show and followed by a tour and having affordable ticket prices.
I think there's, you know, going back to that, the whole ticket pricing, like, I want to be able to have a fair ticket price because, you know, it should be affordable. And for people who are, who do have a little extra money, I mean, you support the band with buying merch. We will be having, like, the VIP meeting experience. You want to do that and connect with us, like, you can do that. You can buy the vinyl, you can buy a shirt. So, and that goes directly to us. Yeah, like, fair ticket price, and then you want to keep supporting the band, you can do that too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to. But, you know, I other people can. No, I'm kidding, of course. I don't have to pay for VIP stuff. I just get in, right? that's awesome. And so the other thing I was going to ask about is that so recently on your new YouTube, I say recently, but it was like 4 months ago, was a health remix that came out that's really good, really enjoyable. I've been, you know, loving the shit out of Health since I found them a couple years back, but what a great remix it is. Were you involved with that, or was that the whole
thing?
Thanks
a lot, man. Yeah, of course. Yeah, we were involved with that. I'm trying to remember how that happened. It was literally through Twitter. I think we put up our song Riot Fire from our album. And I could be wrong, but I feel like someone commented on us, "You guys are awesome. You should, you know, I'm a big fan of Health. Have you guys?" I think they like tagged them, and then Health literally said, "Oh, this sounds great. I would love for them to remix us." And that's all it took.
Wow.
So it comes to, you gotta let the music speak for itself. You can be, you know, I self promote all the time, but at the end of the day, is make good music with integrity and be yourself, and that will take you further than anything else. So, and it's so funny because we really get into our Nine Inch Nails influence with that remix, and then just come to show a couple months later, Health and Nine Inch Nails did a song together.
Yeah, that was so trippy. Because I ran into Health with the release of Slaves of Fear, and that was the album that like really put them on my radar for me. And I was telling everybody I knew, I was like, this is the band you got to watch, like, this is who you got to dig into, because the Slaves of Fear record is like, it's like the new Downward Spiral, right? Like, it's something to behold. So when the collaboration with Nine Inch Nails came along, I was all like, I told you, see, I knew this like ages ago, like,
but, oh yeah, that's exciting. Yeah,
The remix is fantastic. Like, I was delighted to discover it, because I love Health, I love Matt Black, and what a great combination here. That's it's only on your YouTube right now, right?
I'm trying to remember why that's only on YouTube. It might be on SoundCloud. I think it had something to do with some logistics on releasing it through mediums, and we're working on, it's weird. You know, Health is reaching that point where they're getting even bigger than you would expect from an indie band. So there's all kinds of the channels. It changes. Things change. Now you're talking to someone else and not the how this is going to be released, you know. But they deserve it, right? They deserve all the attention they get. I'm really stoked for them. I saw that lineup in, what was it, in Europe, where it's like Puppy, Ministry, Nails, Health.
Yeah,
what
Hellfest. What is that?
In France? Yeah.
Hellfest in France. Yeah, like Nine Inch Nails Ministry, Skinny Puppy Health, Youth Code, and...
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic, too. And I love Youth Code. Those guys are so great. Like, what a fresh spin on, like, on a formula that's a little bit older, I guess. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's...
Right. I don't know. It sounds like really old EBM to me, yeah.
Yeah, and so much energy, and yeah, super exciting. So I did want to kind of dive into and talk a little bit about Matt Black as far as like music and concept kind of goes. I know that it certainly is you know, your baby and something that you're a little bit more involved with directly. What would you say is like kind of what's like the kind of the direction, the true north for Matt Black? Like what is it that you would say that you and your friends are kind of driving towards? Is there a particular like aesthetic that or concept that kind of informs what you do as far as art creation? That's kind of a huge, complicated question. Sorry.
I'll give you a huge, complicated answer. How about that?
Okay, sweet. Sounds great. Yeah, hit me with that.
Yeah, you know what? I think when the pandemic hit, tours got canceled. I had a tour with Julian K. Two tours that got canceled with Julian K. Another one with Moving Units. And, you know, I called up Alex and I was like, dude, like, you know, these tours are canceled. Alex was going to do the drumming for Julian K. And we're like, I'm like, I don't want to be at home. I don't want to sit on my ass. And I said, we have a file that we had, you know, we're premature, been working on. I'm like, why don't we go head on with this? And I think we were really open-minded about the project, but at the same time, we had to set a theme and a concept. It's something that I want to hear when I go to the industrial. Yet I want it to be something that a band can play live. I definitely want one of the beats to be heavy and another to be danceable for the floor. I would say mostly it's for the floor, but not always. We do, you know, do a little different timings and time signature. But, you know, me, Daniel, and Alex all come from the background of playing in a band. So even if we are making electronic music, we still think the way a band thinks. So like, oh, it needs an intro, and it needs to go here, it needs to go there. We definitely wanted to be heavily influenced on old industrial music, but with new sounds. You know, we're borrowing, also using new technology. A lot of soundtrack influence, like Blade Runner, a lot of this, like, you know, the past, I try to sound... Alex is a really good singer. He has a pretty voice. So I never thought, you know, I never went into it thinking this is going to be yelling, screaming type of thing. Like, I wanted to be able for him to express himself as an artist through his vocals. And I'm a really good writer, too. I mean, I know it sounds weird to say, but I'm a really good writer. No, I've just been doing it for... I enjoy writing, like, more than anything. Like, I write short stories, poetry, lyrics, and I guess what I was trying to say is that, you know, for them to give me full range on writing conceptually as a lyricist, I worked with them. I worked with Alex. We worked together. We write lyrics together, and I could be like, well, this needs to tell a story. Like, where do we go from here? Like, you need the resolution, and that's kind of the theme of the album, is that it's really dark, but... there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So there's more of blissfulness and light and color and texture that we put in there. And then there's moments where it's, you know, really, but more than anything, we had the time to write a full album, and I wanted to make a point right off the bat. We didn't write a single, we didn't write an EP, we did a full-length album, and I just miss the old days when you put the needle to the record and it's like, you're gonna hear it from song one to the end, and yeah, you're gonna feel something. You know,
I listen to my records still.
Yeah, you're, you know, we're a dying breed.
Yeah.
Know that, right? Aside from that, I when we were writing this record and potentially playing live, I wanted to showcase who we are as musicians and artists. I wanted to be up there, and Daniel's a multi-instrumentalist. We play 2, 3, 4 instruments. I'm like, I want to be on stage. I want to put on a great light show, great experience. I don't want to be a lazy person on stage. The least amount of possible things is like, we will always have our hands on something and we will be utilizing every piece of gear we have.
Right.
So that was my long, complicated answer.
I'm into it. It's cool. I mean, like, if we wanted to boil it down to, you know, simple terms, like, you know, using journalism, it would be, you know, so what's one of the best things about Matt Black? And you're all like, oh man, my writing is so fucking good. It's just the best. I mean, seriously, it does come through. I've listened to the record a couple of times and it's very accessible. Like, that's the word I want to use, is that it's like, for all of this sort of dark imagery, all of this very sort of noir kind of aesthetic associated with it, like, it's really accessible and really easy to listen to. And, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's where it shines. I mean, personally, I've, you know, just telling you this, you know, as a fan to an artist, like, it's easy to listen to. Like, I didn't find myself wanting to be like, you know, as a person who also listens to records start to finish, in a time that's becoming more and more a la carte, more and more like, here's our latest single that we spent 3 or 4 months on, and it's the best single we could possibly make. Cool. I'm really glad that works for some artists. But I also really just still am in love with the idea of consuming something as a whole. Like, because then, like, the album is like your evening, right? It's like sitting and watching a movie, but you're just like, being taken on this sort of audio journey almost. But I really like it for that reason. It was easy to listen to. I didn't want to skip any of the songs or anything.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much for saying that. I'm really learning a new way of being grateful, you know. Because I guess so it was always a little harder for me in the past to be grateful when it was someone else's band that I was joining, or the new guy.
Sure.
Not to take away from how good any of those albums were, but knowing that, like, I was there from the very beginning to the end, the whole process, the writing, the hours in the studio, and to know that I actually pulled off a vinyl, and that I'm mailing out these vinyls to people that I've never met before in my life, or, you know, hearing people from the, you know, from the press, like you guys, just talking about it. I was on the phone the other day we all gotta go by like our aliases.
Yeah,
right?
We gotta stick by our handles and our stage names here. You can't throw the curtain.
Anyways, I was talking to another artist, and he was like, he literally said, I feel like Matt Black was the best kept secret in the last year. And it meant so much to hear that, you know. I was like, but it still seems like not real, you know, like something surreal, like something that's just like in you know, something from outer space that I'm never gonna be able to like touch. I don't know if I'm really hard on myself, dude. That's the thing. I'm really hard on myself as an artist. I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that too. I really am. I really do get it. Cause, you mentioned, earlier in the show, you mentioned like your, you know, oh, well, my girlfriend says, you know, I'm really good at this or really good at that. Like, for me, it's like, you know, my wife is like, you know, undying support. So she's like, this episode's great. And I'm like, yeah, but is it, I mean, like, I listen to it too, and I'm on it. So, and, you know, there's that, like, double-edged kind of, like, self-defeating kind of thing. But, man, sometimes you just have to, like, step back and, like, appreciate where you've landed. Like, you know, a couple months ago, we interviewed Mark Heal from Covenant for the show. And, like, what a massive, like, huge honor that was. Like, I've been loving Covenant for like 20 years, man. Like, that music's great, and he's like, you know, that's like a legend to me. So I mean, to be able to just like sit and have like a cool, like, casual conversation is like, I don't know, sometimes you take it for granted, you know, like, And maybe you do the same thing with Matt Black. You're just kind of like, you know, you're taking it for granted because in the past you've worked with like these very talented artists and bands. But, you know, there's always going to be that element of like, you know, you're not a guest, but like, it's not yours. You know what I mean? Like you didn't found it necessarily. So, I would have to imagine that you're way more harsh on yourself about something that you directly have influenced with.
It reminds me. We just released a remix for Kind of Zymox, and that's been one of the most legendary Darkwave bands of our time.
Yeah.
When I got that message, man, I was like, he's like, Biddy, you know. So, and I had met him. Previous to the pandemic, he played in San Diego. But when I got a message, it was like, man, I would love for you guys to do a remix. And I really liked it. And I was just like, fuck, dude. This is like, you know, it doesn't get any better than this. After this, it's like, you know, Depeche Mode asking you for a remix, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like, totally stuffed. Yeah. So I totally feel you on that.
Yeah, Clan of Zymox is certainly nobody to like. To sneeze at or dismiss. I mean, like, I mean, they've been around for a long time, and what a massive discography behind them too. Like, just it just goes on for ages, it seems. But still, that's great. I mean, like, you guys deserve all the attention that you've been getting, for sure. Like, the album's fantastic. I'm really looking forward to featuring it on the best dark music artists kind of list that I'm putting together, alongside like Weird Wolves is going to go on there, because that's a great new band that's kind of come out of nowhere.
What a great name.
Yeah, right? Like, Strangers, I'm trying to think of some of the others that are going to go on there. Ghost Twin, that's another great band. Black Nail Cabaret is also fantastic. Vogon Poetry, a couple of others that I'm throwing around for going on there as well. But I love everything you guys are doing, and it works really well. So I'm super glad that you we finally like hammered down some time to have a chat and to have you on the show. I truly appreciate it. Like, I really do. And
yeah, we were playing phone tag for a while there.
Yeah, a little bit. I had like life stuff come up, and then I could only record on certain days because of my now ex co-host. So it's been nice to be able to, like, you know, become the captain of the ship again, and I'm gonna do this when I want to, kind of a thing. But what else is going on with you? Is there anything else that you would like to kind of talk about? Like, what else are you working on aside from Matt Black?
I'm doing two other projects as well. I play guitar in Moving Units, which is a dance punk band. Kind of had their stride like in the mid, you know, 2003 to 2007, where like the whole like the Rapture, the Faint, that first wave of like post-punk when the Killers got big, they kind of like were part of that scene, and they're a band that I've been keeping my eye on for a long time, and I joined them on guitar. Right, the singer, he's a big fan of like dark wave music and post-punk, and he wanted to do a whole tribute album to Sisters of Mercy. So we're doing that. I'm also producing a project from LA named Audio Map. And stylistically, it's very different, but it's still electronic music. I don't know how to describe it other than like a mixture of like M83 with Radiohead. So it gets a little experimental and then it gets like very poppy, but it's really cool stuff, man. Some people ask me, how do you have time for all this? The truth is that like I just go, man. Like the way I see it is like I'm on a streak right now and I should just keep writing, I should keep producing, keep busy. I don't want to be home. I don't want to be on my ass on the couch. Like I just want to create, you know. I have a window of opportunity and age catches up to you later. I'm still young. 10 years from now, like I don't know if I'm going to be as active as I am now.
Right.
Because I don't know, maybe I want something different in life later, but right now it's kind of the time to fucking go balls out, you know, and just go all the way out on all my concepts and ambitions, you know. I just kind of wanted to, you know, plug that in there so you guys could check that out. Again, Moving Units is doing a Sisters of Mercy tribute album. We're going to put it out on vinyl, on everything. And Audiomatic is another project that I'm producing. It's not my band. It's just I'm going in as the producer for it.
Gotcha. So, sorry, let me clarify with you. Audiomatic or Audiomatic?
Manic. Audiomatic.
Manic. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So not that on is, Spotify as of yet, but I assume over on Bandcamp probably?
No. Like, this is fresh.
Oh, fresh, like 100% brand, never. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Crack of the ground with this one. All right.
There
gotcha.
You go.
Cool. Well, after that description that you dropped of, like, what they sound like, I'm like, well, fuck, let me go listen to this. And then you just disappoint me by telling me they haven't made anything yet. Like, so, playing with my emotions here. Well, I'm excited for it now, so, you know, what? So where the fuck is it? Like, I want to hear it now.
I'll send you something.
Yeah, please do. I would love to hear it. And Moving Units, I actually...
there's a process.
Okay. And Moving Units, I admittedly, I had not heard of until today. And went and looked them up, and I was like, I was very impressed. I was like, wow, this is... How did this band, like, kind of slip past me for so long? Like, I was listening to a track off the 2004 record, and then went and checked out... like the most recent record from 2018, and I still, like, my reaction to both eras was like, how did this ever slip past me? Like, what, like, why have I not heard this? So that's fun. And it was kind of a thing where you started out like doing live stuff, and now you're kind of working behind the scenes too.
Yeah, I have a problem with saying no to really cool shit.
Right. Which is how you ended up here, right? That's how you ended up on my on my podcast. Yeah, see, I knew. It makes sense that you're just like, you know, super busy and putting your fingers in as many things as you can. I mean, you know, when you get to rub elbows with like super talented people, I mean, why would you not like do that? Why would you not get involved? So, makes sense. All right, cool. Well, I'll go ahead and ask you the last question, that I ask everybody who comes on the show, which is, what are you enjoying right now? And the answer can be, it can be anything. It can be, you know, I'm really liking this movie, or I'm really liking this TV show or book or album or video game, just whatever comes to mind. What's making you happy right now? What are you getting out of bed, like, excited to do aside from your music career?
That's a hard question because the music career thing is like 80% of my thing right now. You know, I did start watching Loki on Disney Plus. No matter what, I'm always going to be a huge, like, superhero nerd. You know, Marvel Universe and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm enjoying that. And you need to catch up on, like, one or two episodes. Definitely interesting, like, backstory and, you know, offshoot, side story, all these characters. I haven't seen the, what's the other one, the Falcon and the Winter
Soldier. Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen any of them. I was a little, like, I grew up on comic books and... really loved them, but like after Endgame, I was like, okay, I need a little bit of a break, and I've just kind of not come back from that break yet. But man, the show I'm super excited about is that What If series. Like, that was like my favorite comic book growing up. With just the like really strange, like one off, like sort of stories. Like, I'm super excited to see that.
Yeah, I honestly, I think stuff like that really slows my mind down. Like, I don't have to be constantly thinking about what I have to do tonight, tomorrow, or with any of the projects during my time, and laugh and watch something good, and that's it. And it just helps me kind of like reset myself. So you can't go wrong with these feel good movies, man. I'm telling you, like, yeah, I like the complex, you know, thrillers and things that make me think, but sometimes I just want to watch something entertaining and laugh and just, you know. You know, I think it's important that we all have that, you know.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, that's one thing that I'm an advocate for is, like, you know, like, we all love fine art, but like sometimes it's not, you don't have to enjoy fine art all the time. Like, you can also just sit and enjoy, you know, whatever. Like, you can just sit and enjoy like something, you know, silly and accessible and whatever. I'm with you there. I'm not really, so as far as I'll answer the question as well. Things I'm enjoying lately, I'm enjoying making Void Signal. I'm enjoying like having complete control over it and being able to do whatever I want with it. So that's fun. I love being able to chat with artists like yourself. We just had Ashbury Heights on. That episode went live today. I've got Hollows in a couple of hours. They're sort of a goth dark wave kind of a band, like a little bit, just like a duo. Actually, Mark Heal mentioned them on his episode. When we asked him like what he was enjoying lately, he was like, "Oh, I'm enjoying Hollows. They sound good and they look good." So I looked them up, and they just put out like a record, and really great. Like, really, like, I don't want to say fun. I was about to say fun, but it's not. it's pretty dark, it's pretty solemn at times, but it's enjoyable. There we go, we'll say that it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
So yeah, just really enjoying them, and then that's kind of it. I haven't really like watched movies or TV or anything lately. I've just been, you know, playing Destiny and stuff, like when I have spare time. But I've been on like a Ray Punk kind of kick, you know what I mean? Like Enemy Mine and Destiny and Halo and like I'm trying to think of some other good examples, like Star Wars, and just I'm so in love with the sci-fi aesthetic, I just can't get away from it. But
oh, it's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, if you don't have anything else that you really want to talk about, I will go ahead and let you go and get back to enjoying your day. You know, you can go back to the beach or whatever if you want. So, but yeah, thanks, man, so much for your time. I appreciate it. And I will let you know as soon as this goes up, and I'll include all the relevant links to everything you're doing, like the whole catalog of, like, you know, Moving Units and Matt Black and Julian Kay in the New Division, and like, you need like a hub, you need like bitty.com where people can just go like look up what the hell you're doing,
right,
and what you have your like what you have your fingers in these days. You can PayPal me after the show, like, you know, for the idea, like, you know, Cobra, Bitty Cobra, housecobra.com, like, to House keep up to date.
Cobra, yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, sir, and thanks again. I will talk to you again soon.
All right, brother. You have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good talking to you.
Take
too.
Care. Bye. Thank you.